I don't think that you have to be looking for women or men who you're going to marry. I think you need to be in prayer. You need to be seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And not in your time, but in God's divine time, He will bring that person into your life and He will show you and He will confirm it by His word.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. As we press through our series exploring how to nurture a faith-filled family, it's great to have you with us. Today, Roel will illuminate the foundational need for a healthy marriage. A fractured home begins with cracks in the relationship between a husband and wife, but God can bring healing to those who seek restoration. Stay with us for encouragement to fully entrust your marriage and family to the Lord. Today's lesson is The Beginning of the Family. In Genesis chapter 2, here's Roel Reese.
One of the things that I've been contemplating and just kind of thinking about throughout the whole week, and we've been talking about this, is the importance of the family. The family was the first social structure that God created in the scriptures. God formed the first family by joining Adam and Eve together, making them one as husband and wife. And the woman was to become the companion to Adam, and that Adam was to take care of his wife and to bring forth children, as God's commandment would be given to Adam and Eve. But as we look around us this morning, we begin to see that the family is deteriorating. The family is dying. We have great problems with divorce, separation. We have great problems with juvenile delinquency, gang problems. And we know that one of the things that keeps a social order and that brings really peace to a country and to a nation is the social structure of the family. Without the family, there is no structure. This is important. And yet, in God's word, God has given us His word to represent what the home is really actually to be. And what women are to be in the home and what men are to be in their home and how they're to be watching over their children. Now, let's look at the scripture and see what God has to say about the first beginning of the family. And look at Genesis chapter 2, beginning with verse 15. Here we have is God has created everything. On the sixth day, He creates men. And God takes man and places him in the Garden of Eden, this beautiful garden that God had created and made for man. And it says in verse 15, "And the Lord God took the man and He put him in the Garden of Eden to tilt it and to keep it." Notice that God's garden was given to man, and the duty of man was to take care of this garden. What God was looking for man is not only for man to take care of the garden, but man to be obedient to what God declares and proclaims to man. And so it says in verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat. But," remember, the woman is not made yet, "but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Now, remember that God, before woman was ever created, God already had established His law of obedience with men. Man already was given the right to be the head of his home. And this is where some men today are failing tremendously in their homes. And one of the reasons is because they don't want to take the spiritual headship, but most important, they don't want to be obedient to God's word. And so they're living a life of disobedience in the word of God. And you can't prosper, you can't be blessed if you don't submit yourself to God. And so what God does here in verses 18 to 25, he begins to give you and me the beginning of the establishment of the family. This is what God declares, not what man says, but this is what God says. And the first thing that I see in making an observation in verse 18 is God's awareness of man's singleness. How man was single in the garden. Look what it says. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper for him. Now, to my observation here, is that God speaks of man's loneliness. I love that about God, how God's concerned for our needs. And yet there are some of you that are single here. And you cry out and you're constantly murmuring and complaining how lonely you really are. When yet, we should really be satisfied just with Jesus Christ as he becomes my husband mate. And yet, the loneliness comes when we get our eyes off Jesus and we put our eyes upon ourselves. And then the problems begin. Another thing that I see here about man's loneliness is that God gives him a helpmeet or a helper, a companion that is going to help him, not ensnare him. And that I see here in the singleness of Adam's life that Adam doesn't have to go out and date all kinds of women before he chooses one, but God makes a choice for him. This is important because God does not make mistakes, especially if you're a believer. And if you're hunting and you're looking for a wife, you're already going about it the wrong way. You're going about it your way, not God's way. Because I personally believe, as I study the scriptures, that I believe that God has one woman and one man that God will bring together in God's timing, not your timing. I believe God has a special one for you if you wait, if you put God first. And we see that here in the garden, is God is instructing men. So God sees the loneliness of men. And then secondly, I see God's provision for men is God gives him a helper. One that would not ensnare him, but one that would become compatible with him. And he could love and they could talk and they could worship together. And they would become not two people, but they would become one people together. This is what I see in the biblical institution of marriage. Watch what he says in verse 18, the rest of the verse. He says, the Lord God said, it is not good that men should be alone, but I, God, will make him a help fit or a helpmeet or a companion or a helper for him. Many men think that women are not helpers. And we as husbands need to look at our wives as those that are trying to help us and not destroy us. And sometimes because men are so proudful, we begin not to see the blessing that God has given to us and the blessing that God has given to us through our physical or verbal abuse becomes a cursing to our lives. And it's not God, but it's man that does that. We have to be very careful in the things that we do. And the way we look at our wives and the way we look at the marriage that God has ordained and established from the beginning of time. Now the second point I see here in verse 19 is God's garden. The place that God made or created for men to dwell in. And the first thing that I see here is God's creation of all of the animal kingdom around the garden. Look what it says in verse 19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and he brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Notice the privilege that man has in taking upon the intelligence that God has given to him to name every animal in the kingdom. God did not give the name to the animals, but Adam said elephant, giraffe, eagle, hawk, and he went on until he named all of the animal kingdom. Man was created with the capacity of intelligence to be wise, to be smart. But you see, it was God's doing in the garden. And then secondly, what I see here is God's charge given to Adam in verse 19, the second part. He says, and Adam to see what he would call them, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Notice man's knowledge and wisdom of naming these animals. Now, at this point in time, Adam is looking around the garden. Everything is beautiful. Everything is beautiful. But yet, as we stand off from man, we see behind man, God looking at man's heart and recognizing that man cannot live alone. I like that. Because Paul the Apostle talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that there are some men and some women where God will give you the gift of singleness. But God gives us the order on how to follow up on that. And there are people that have the gift of singleness, and then you have the other people that will go out and they will be married or will have to get married because there is that need in their lives to have a companion. And so God has established that within every man and every woman. And then thirdly, I see in verse 20 also men's singleness or emptiness. Look what it says. And there was not found a helpmeet for Adam at the end of verse 20. Adam was standing there before all of God's creation, and yet Adam had no one that he could really love. I mean, imagine going up to a giraffe and kissing the giraffe. It's not the same feeling as kissing your wife.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Ries. Connect with us anytime at somebodylovesyou.com for a wealth of scripture-rich resources. You can also join Raul for Straight Talk on the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel, Tuesdays at 10 a.m. West Coast time. Let's continue now with more from Raul Ries.
And this is where the basis of love comes in, where God begins to see the deepness of the soul, the seat of the emotions, and begins to see that man is far and beyond greater than animal. Man was created in the image of God, where man has feelings and emotions, and man has a spirit, a soul, where animal does not. And yet God, in that emptiness of man, God is ready to create that fulfillment for man, where man will become joyous and happy with that woman. And in verse 21 to 23, we see God's creation of woman. In verse 21, we see God's surgery over Adam. Look what it says. And then the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. God, without telling Adam anything, took Adam and he put him into a deep sleep while God was actually doing surgery over man. Now, I love God's surgery because God already knows the intentions of the evil heart of man. God did not operate on man's brain to take woman from the top of man's head or from the bottom of his feet or his heels so that man could stomp all over woman. And God draws the woman from a man's rib, which the word rib there means is to the closest part of man's heart. And God takes the rib or the curved side and he mates this woman. Now, here again, there's an establishment of biblical doctrine from the beginning foundations of doctrine. God did not make another man, Bill and Jack. And he did not make Adam and Eve and Jane and so on. Notice, he made one man, he made one woman, two people becoming one in marriage. And what's interesting about this, notice what he says. Verse 21. And the Lord caused his deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And then God took one of his curved sides and closed up the flesh instead thereof. In verse 22, and the rib or the curved side which the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman. And what did he do? And he brought that woman unto Adam. Notice that Adam did not go out looking for a wife. God brought the woman to the man. I really believe that is what is biblical. I don't think that you have to be looking for women or men who you're going to marry. I think you need to be in prayer. You need to be seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And not in your time, but in God's divine time, He will bring that person into your life and He will show you and He will confirm it by His word. And this is the way God works. And I will say to you that as God brings man and woman together, it's not always going to be easy to be married. There are going to be problems in marriage. But as husband and wife come together, you learn to grow together. And those that pray together, stay together. Remember that. As you take the leadership of your home and you begin to love your wife and you begin to take care of your wife and you become the provider of your home. And as you begin to instruct your children in the ways of God, and you take that time in the morning or in the evening to be with your family, then how can your family really split when you bring in unity into the home? This is what God expects of every child of God. And yet, today, the home has become weak. So many people are marrying out of the will of God, marrying a believer with a non-believer, which God forbids in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 through chapter 7, verse 1. Be you not unequally yoked together with a non-believer, for what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what fellowship has light with Satan? See, God doesn't want that at all. But what happens is we don't want to really wait on the Lord. We want to do what we want. And so what happens? The result is confusion. And what happens is destruction. And not really fulfillment of love. God wants us to wait upon Him. And can you imagine as God makes this woman, let's look at Adam's reaction in verse 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones. You think he said that? I don't think so. I don't think he was mellow. Adam probably said this in this tone of voice. And Adam said, this is now bones of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Notice what it says there. The woman was taken from the man to become one with man, not two people. This is God's order. And yet the feminists and the homosexuals are constantly trying, and the liberals are constantly trying to destroy the family order that God created when it has been established in God's word. So we as God's people this morning need to understand that too much is given, much more will be required. And if this morning you find yourself that you don't really love your wife anymore like you used to, you need to repent. You need to go back to your first love, which first of all is God, and then God will begin to give you love for that husband or for that wife and for your children. That's God's order. God's order is not divorce. God hates divorce. God never intended for men to divorce, but because of the hardness of man's heart, God gave in the law that little law of divorce. It wasn't God's doing, it was man's doing. Because God hates any person to divorce in Christ Jesus. And I think that's important to understand. Because when God gives you something, it's a gift. And as you look at your wife, and as you look at your husband, recognize one thing. What God has put together, let no man put asunder. Remember the vows you took when you got married. They're sacred. They're consecrated by the Holy Spirit. It always may look greener on the other side of the hill, but it's not. It's all plastic. And what God is trying to do to you is He's trying to keep you from poisonous waters. He's trying to keep you from going over the edge. And that's why He says, it's not how close can you get to the edge, but how far can you stay away from the edge. This is important. And so God made this beautiful woman and this beautiful man, and He brought them in together. And then God gives His command to the husband and to the wife, beginning with verse 24. Notice, and therefore shall a man leave his mommy and his daddy. Look what He says. Some of you wimpy men, listen. You're not to go back to your mommy or daddy. You're to take the full responsibility for your actions. As you and your wife now have become one, no one enters the center of that ring. No one. As the deity of Christ surrounds you, the goal speaks of that deity. You and your wife and your children are in the center of that circle, which is God's eternal circle of His love, His grace, and His mercy upon that marriage. This is what God desires, and this is what God expects of you. To take care of business in your home is now you've become one with your wife. Not to take your problems to your mom and to your dad, or to get them mixed up in your marriage, because then you really have big problems. And I know that's hard, especially among some ethnic groups where the mother wants to dominate. Don't let her take rulership of your home in a godly way, in a strong way, and biblically do it.
The fast pace of our society can make home life hectic, but we hope today's message has been a reminder for you that your family's well-being starts with making time for your marriage. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to hear today's message in its complete form, just call us at 800-634-9165. And for a donation of $5 or more, we'll send a copy to you. Just mention today's study, The Beginning of the Family. We'd also like to equip you with an insightful new parenting book titled Raising a God-Fearing Family in an Ungodly World. Raul and his late wife Sharon share perspective from their experience as the parents of three grown sons while offering relevant scripture to help you establish an environment of faith and peace in your home. To order Raising a God-Fearing Family in an Ungodly World, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. We'll send your copy for $12 plus shipping and handling. Our number again is 800-634-9165. Or you can write us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We encourage you to take advantage of our many free resources. They're easy to access at home, at work, or on the road. Download our app to keep God's Word at your fingertips with live-streamed teaching, digital Bible studies, and much more. For podcasts of all previously aired radio programs, browse iTunes and Spotify, or visit the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel. Thank you for your partnership in helping us share the good news of the gospel from the Word of God. Every contribution is tax deductible. Be sure and join us next time for our continued focus on your God-given role as a parent and spouse. You'll get a challenge to hold fast to the Bible's unchanging truths, not allowing worldly influences to compromise your faith or damage your family. Now, with the closing thought, here's Raul once again.
And then lastly, we see the instructions that are given for purity in the marriage. Look what he says. And therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall glue themselves one to another. And they shall become one flesh. You take a 2x4 together, you glue them together. In a couple of days, you try to take them apart. What happens? It's all splintered wood. That's what happens when divorce comes into a marriage. What God has put together, let no man put asunder. God expects you to be glued to your wife and to your husband by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in that marriage, God expects purity. Purity in the marriage. Watch what he says. Verse 25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Why? Because of God's grace and because of God's love. But most important, because of men and women's obedience to God.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.